So take your Bibles this morning, if you would, please, and turn to John chapter number 20. John in chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. John chapter number 20. In John chapter number 20, beginning with verse number 24, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You know, remember, Jesus came in earlier, Thomas wasn't with him. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, now, let me pause here for just a second. Thomas knew the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew him intimately. He knew that the Lord had already told them, "I will arise." And yet, there was something in Thomas's mind that said, "Yeah, I'm not going to believe this until I can touch him. I'm not going to believe this until I see him, until I touch him, until I embrace him. I'm not going to believe it." And so we ask the question, for Thomas's sake, why was he not satisfied with just simply the Word of God? And Thomas saw some validity in the actual reaching out and touching the Lord, touching his wounds. And the point I want to bring up today is that Jesus is alive. He's not dead. When he rose from the dead, he rose bodily. He went into the grave bodily. He came out bodily. He ascended up bodily. Jesus is real. He's not a figment of our imagination. He's not just some fairy tale in a storybook. He's real. And he's alive. And Thomas, being one of the witnesses that you and I have in the Word of God, when Thomas reached out and he touched his wounds, he said, "My Lord and my God." Father, as we look at the sheer fact that Jesus Christ, your Son, is alive, how Satan is trying to confuse the minds of the world through technology, Father, we ask, Lord, Father, that you will help us today put our faith in the real, not in the imaginary. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. I want to qualify the message today. I'm not against technology. I use it. As a matter of fact, my sermon notes right now are on my iPad. I'm not against technology. I use the internet. You use the internet. I have a Facebook page. Probably many of you have a Facebook. I'm not against technology. It's how you use it that I could be against. Amen. So that being said, I want to preach a message this morning entitled, Jesus is Alive. And we are living in a generation where the artificial is being confused with what is real. Artificial technology has made its way into society, even on a norm basis. For instance, I've already stated, I have a Facebook. Now, I didn't have a Facebook for years, not because I thought technology was demon-possessed or anything like that, but I just didn't care anything about it, to be honest with you. And then when the Lord brought us into this ministry of laborers together and people around the United States and even around the globe praying for us, I thought it was good for us to have some kind of a platform so people could see what we're doing on a daily basis and be praying for us. And so that's how I use it. I post Bible verses on there. I post, anyway, many of you probably have a Facebook page. I'll get a friend request or somebody on my page will put something on there that it's not something I want to put in my mind, I'll delete them. I mean, I'll block them. I'm telling you, I'll block you from my Facebook. I mean, I want God's use in this Facebook aspect. And so artificial technology, I'm about as dumb as a box of rocks when it comes to this field. Seriously, I am dumb. And I just figured out this week how to allow AI to create a picture for me. I just figured this out. I was sitting in my office. I said, there's got to be a better way to get a picture on this thing. And I said, oh, look, AI wants to help. And I punched in. He created a couple of pictures for me. So we have this infused in our regular, normal life. AI has made its way into more professional platforms, okay? Somebody told me this week or last week that college kids are flunking their examinations and their papers because they find out that AI is doing it. The professors will find out that AI is producing these papers for them. Well, we didn't go to college to learn how to use AI to do our papers. Can I have an amen? Yeah, but that's being done. So AI is being used in a lot of different platforms. It's even making its way into the religious arena. And I don't know how many of you know this, but AI has really made an impact on worldwide religion. And I want to read a few articles to you that will help us to understand the motive behind this message. The immersive realities research lab in Lucerne University in Switzerland, with the help of theologian Marco Schmidt, created an AI Jesus named Deus in Machina, which is translated God in the Machine. Once completed, this avatar Jesus was placed in St. Peter's Chapel in Switzerland, and this took place back in the late of 2024. Now, I asked Copilot, a sister or brother of AI, I asked Copilot, is this fake Jesus still in this chapel? And it says yes. I don't know, maybe they used it for 2 months and they did away with it. Maybe they're still using it. Maybe the priests are playing golf and letting AI do the confessionals. I don't know. But I do know this. This avatar Jesus was placed in this Catholic church in a confessional booth. Now, how does it work? Visitors enter into the confessional, and I'm deliberately reading this, so I'm not misquoting anybody. This isn't something I just made up, this would make a good sermon. No, this is real. It's a reality, okay? Visitors enter into the confessional booth where a lifelike avatar of Jesus appears on a computer screen. Now I saw a picture of this, and it's behind. I've never been in a confessional booth, so I have no idea. That's not something I've ever done. Some of you have. You've walked into a Catholic or a sister of a Catholic's confessional booth, and I believe it's made up of two different rooms, and there's a screen or something in between. Is that correct? Is that basically? Yeah, okay. And I saw a picture of, and it's this picture of Jesus behind a screen. Okay, so that's kind of the look that it has. And this the AI Jesus responds to questions and offers advice based on biblical scripture. Now, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about in Switzerland, there is a Catholic church that has an AI Jesus, where when you walk into the confessional booth, you can ask questions, you can confess sins, you can do whatever, and that AI Jesus will respond based on his computing, based on what people have put into that system. All right, public reception. Many visitors reported spiritual experiences using the AI Jesus. Some had the feeling of comfort or inspiration by the AI's responses. Some describe it as a helpful tool for reflection and guidance, while others criticize it as blasphemous and gimmicky. Wow, can you imagine walking into a confessional booth, knowing that a computer screen computed by other people, the information put in there by other people, and it's designed to answer whatever question you put before it. And they walk out as if they just met with God. You say nobody would ever be fooled by that. You're not living in the same world I am, if you think that way. That being said, as I continued reading through and studying up and looking at what was going on here, I read other articles of warning, where the authors would warn that it is not a sacramental confessional, and suggest it to be an encouragement or to encourage critical thinking about the role of technology in religion rather than replace traditional religious practices. I don't know about you, but we're not performing religious practices. When I walk into church on Sunday, I don't think of a religious practice. Let me give you an illustration. My family lives down south. If I go home where I grew up and I'm going to see my mom and dad, I'm not going through a family practice. I'm going home to see mama, and I'm going to daddy's house. Can I have an amen? I mean, this is not a practice that I feel like if I don't do this, I'm not religious, or if I don't go see my family, I'm not part of the family. No, I'm going. When I go to church on Sunday morning, when I go to church on Sunday night, when I go to church on Wednesday night, or whenever else the house of the Lord's door is open and I go to church, I'm not practicing some religious practice. I take great offense to this. I'm not practicing some great, you know what I'm doing? I'm going to my daddy's house. I'm going to the Lord's house. I'm going to meet with a living, real life Savior. There's nothing fake about this. And there's nothing that is gimmicky or blasphemous. We need to take those things out of what we do. What we just read about is blasphemous. What we just read about is gimmicky, even with their little disclaimers. And so we're not performing some religious practice. We're building our relationship. We're allowing ourselves to come before the Lord Jesus Christ in a collective sense, and we are doing what we should do as God's children, building an intimate relationship with a real live Heavenly Father, with a real live Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? There's nothing fake about any of that. This has Satan written all over it. Satan is a counterfeiter. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Satan is a deceiver. Revelation 12:9 says, "The great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world." Satan has his children. One is going to be the Antichrist, and there are many Antichrists even in our day today. And the Antichrist is a liar after his father, the devil. 2 Thessalonians 2:9 says, "Even whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." What do you mean by lying wonders? The jaw dropping down. The standing back and saying, "Whoa, did you see that?" Now, be honest, how many of you don't have to raise your hand or respond. I just want you to think about it. How many of you are at awe at what AI does? We all are. I mean, it has come in on the scene like a storm. It has taken the attention, not only national, but worldwide. Everybody has their eyes on AI. Somebody asked me the other day, "Do you ever use AI?" I had to stop and think. I guess we all do, don't we? We use it. We get on our internet. And even as I try to go back to my online presence like I always do, you know, using Google and all that stuff, AI wants to always interject. "You can use me. You can use me." He's always looking for help. He's always looking to, I go on my Microsoft Word, and AI is saying, "I can help you write this page. I can help you do this." If we're not careful, we'll almost allow Satan to deceive us into thinking, "This AI guy, he's pretty good." But it's a wonder. I found out this week that all I got to do is type in a few choice words, and AI will create a picture for me. I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying it's evil. What I'm saying is, when you take this computer-generated system and present it as God, that's blasphemy. There's no two ways about it. And I feel so bad, those people in Switzerland going to church, maybe even today, and being deceived by the devil. The Bible says that deceivers are deceived. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Wow, can you imagine that the very thing that you created to deceive others has actually turned back and deceived you? I mean, they have created something that they think this thing is the next best thing to sliced bread. They've thought so much of their product that they made an image of God with it. They thought so much of their product that they don't care if they blaspheme God, blaspheme the name of God, blaspheme whatever image they think God is in, and they put it in a confessional booth to be worshiped as God. I want you to note something. You and I have the wisdom of God in our hands. We call it the Bible. You and I have the wisdom of God in our heart. His name is Jesus. These are not figments of our imagination. These things were not created in a laboratory somewhere. As a matter of fact, in Exodus chapter number 3, when Moses asked, "Who should I say sent me?" God said, "I am that I am." And then a couple of chapters later, he names himself as Jehovah. Jehovah means the self-existent, means he was not created. Some of these religious groups that teach the false doctrine that Jesus Christ is a created being is a deceiver and a liar. They're not right. According to the Word of God, Jesus Christ is eternal, eternal past, present, and future. He never was created. He always has been. And so he's the eternal one. In John chapter number 8, verse number 58, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Present tense. Mark chapter 5 and verse number 31, he asked the question, "Who touched me?" This was the woman that had the issue of blood, and she touched the hem of his garment. And when he felt her touch the hem of his garment, he said, "Well, who touched me?" How do you touch somebody that's not there? John chapter 20 and verse number 17, Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not." This is after his resurrection. He had not ascended up to his heavenly Father to be glorified yet. He did not want Mary to touch him as of yet, but he came back and he allowed them to touch him. As a matter of fact, in our text that we have today, he presents himself once again, even to Thomas, and he tells Thomas, "Reach hither and touch my hands and touch my feet." And it was only because Jesus Christ was there in the flesh, living, that Thomas said, "My God." Yeah, Jesus is real. He's alive. Even in Acts chapter number 1, verse number 11, the Bible talks about Jesus Christ ascending up to his heavenly Father, up into the heavens. He rose bodily. He ascended up bodily. They watched him. The very one that John laid his head on his breast. The very one that that touched their eyes and they had sight. The very one that he touched their bodies and their ailment was done away and they gained strength again. The very one that they walked with, and the very one that they prayed with. That very one, they saw him ascend up into the heavens to be with his Father. That very one. There wasn't anything in any one of their minds after touching him, feeling him, being with him, wasn't any question that Jesus Christ is alive and well. No simulation, no AI generation, no avatar association. He is real. He is alive. You say, "Well, that's just one aspect." Let me tell you about something else, and I'll read. This introduction to a fake Jesus in Switzerland spawned other aspects to this. And I'll read, the Associated Press in California wrote this: "For some evangelical Christians, faith is about having a personal relationship with Jesus." That's me. I believe in having a personal relationship with Jesus, but watch how they turn this into something else. At $1.99 per minute, the tech company, just like me, is taking that concept to a new level. Users of the platform can join video calls with an avatar of Jesus generated by artificial intelligence. You can pick up a phone call, you can pick up the phone, make a call for a dollar. I say, man, that's cheaper than tithing. but you're not getting Jesus. I've had people tell me, you know what AI told me the other day? I said, be careful, because AI is not a Christian. AI wasn't created on a Christian platform. It wasn't created to build your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was built to destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's an age-old problem. If they can get you to believe in a fake Jesus, then your sins are okay. There's not going to be a future judgment. The problem with that is there's not going to be a present forgiveness. There's not going to be a present healing. There's not going to be a present salvation. Because my computer that sits in my office cannot save me and wash me from my sins. You cannot use a computer to get in touch with God in heaven. A computer has no heart, but Jesus does have a heart to love. He has a body to feel. He has a soul to be pleased or displeased. Jesus is alive in bodily form. You can read Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 5 on your own time, but that verse teaches us that God prepared Jesus Christ a body. Jesus is alive. He's been alive from eternity past. He never came into existence, but there was a time when God created for him a body, and he allowed that body to be formed in the womb of a virgin named Mary. And as the Holy Spirit allowed the Jesus Christ to go into this virgin's womb called Mary, that body started to form. You say, how did it start to form? It started to form the same way that when you were conceived in your mom's womb. It started to form that after a certain period of time, the body started to form, the skin started to form, the muscles started to form, the brain started to form, the eyes started to form, the nose started to form, the tongue started to form, the inner organs started to form. There was a time in all of that process that all of these things began to form. This is the Lord Jesus Christ inside of Mary. It's not a figment of our imagination. He didn't come down in a spirit. He came down in bodily form. He took on the form of man, as Philippians chapter 2, verse number 7 says. He was made in the likeness of man. You know, Jesus Christ didn't come to earth as a freak. He didn't come down out of heaven as a Martian. He wasn't a monster created and made in a laboratory in the same fashion that Frankenstein was. He took upon himself the body of a male human being. When the disciples saw Jesus Christ walking on the seaside, they saw him in bodily form. When they came to embrace him, they felt skin, they felt bones. When he preached to them, they felt his compassion, they felt his love. Jesus Christ was there in bodily form. And then terms throughout the Bible teach us that Jesus Christ had a bodily form. He was a child in the womb. By the way, this isn't this goes off the message, but read in your scriptures how the word child is used in reference to a baby in the womb. It's not a piece of tissue. It's a real live being. And Jesus Christ is referred to in the same way, in the same sense, that every other human being in the womb was referred to. He was a babe in a manger. He was the son of Mary. All of these terms speak of the fact that Jesus Christ came and he was born in flesh. He took upon flesh and he walked about this earth and he was seen. He was looked upon as a human being. Now, you and I know the theology of that, of the other side of that, that Jesus Christ was 100% God while he was 100% man on this earth. Only God could do that. Only God can do that. Number two, Jesus Christ is alive in bodily function. Luke chapter number 2, we talk about the natural functions of a human being. Luke chapter number 2, verse 52 says that Jesus Christ increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. There's so much about that that I don't understand. There's so much about that verse that my little pea brain, my little finite brain cannot wrap itself around. How can the very eternal, sinless Son of God be raised up in a home the way that Jesus Christ was? How can he go through his terrible twos and not have any terrible in it? But God can do it. Can I have an amen? God can do it. But what we're trying to establish today is the sheer fact that Jesus Christ increased in natural bodily functions and natural spiritual functions the same way that every other human being did in Scripture. He also performed in his necessary functions. Read your Scriptures. Read the Bible. There were times when he grew hungry. There were times when he grew tired. There were times when he had to sleep. There were times when he had to pray. There were times when he grew weary of the journey. There were times when we look at Jesus Christ and we see his bodily fatigue. We see the needs that he had to give to his own body. We saw all of those things and we thought, how can the Son of God? But he did, didn't he? He had a body that needed tending to. Jesus' hair grew. It grew. His fingernails grew. He had to cut it. He had to cut his hair. He had to cut his fingernails. I mean, I'm sorry to be so gruesome in such a holy moment as preaching the Word of God, but he had to go to the restroom, didn't he? He had these natural bodily functions, and yet he was God. So yes, Jesus is alive in bodily function. He's alive in bodily feeling. The Bible teaches us in Isaiah 56 and Matthew 26, verse number 67, that that his persecutors grabbed a hold of his beard and pulled his beard out of his face. They beat his face. They buffeted him. They tore up his torso with the cat of nine tails. They nailed nails into his hands and into his feet. They thrust a crown of thorns upon his head. They took a sword and thrust it in his side. What do you think they were stabbing at a picture being thrown on a wall somewhere? No, it was real live flesh with real live blood, with real live bones, with real live all of it. He had a bodily form. He's real. He's alive. Not only that, he had real live emotions. Can you imagine being forsaken by your disciples? The very ones that for 3.5 years you mentored, you poured your life into. You loved them. You at times rebuked them. And yet the day of his persecution, the Bible says every one of them forsook him. Could you imagine the disappointment? Could you imagine the loneliness that he felt? When he was being ridiculed and mocked, Or when he was being persecuted, they ridiculed him and they mocked him. Why would they go through the trouble and ridicule and mock him if he didn't have feelings? That's like me yelling at my computer. Now, sometimes I do because it's aggravating. Amen. But I don't yell at my computer thinking I'm hurting its feelings. But they were mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. They were letting him know, we don't believe who you are. He had spiritual feelings. Remember when he was just about to take his last breath on the cross and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now we know God, Jesus is sinless. He never created a sin. But he took all the sin that Ron Brown created in his life. And he took all the guilt of my sin and he placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ that day. And he took all your sin and the guilt of your sin and he placed it on the Lord Jesus Christ that day. He thought, well, my Heavenly Father will never turn his back on me. My Heavenly Father will never forsake me. And yet that day he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wow. Jesus Christ is alive in bodily forbearance. The Bible teaches us that he descended into hell. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 9 says this, now that he ascended, meaning to raise up, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? The lower parts of the earth? That simply means he was buried. Then why is the word parts plural? If he was just buried in a tomb and that's as far as he went, explain to me the little S that's on there if we believe our Bible is inerrant in every aspect. And when Jesus Christ, before he ascended, he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. You know what I think? I think our Bible teaches us that hell tried to hold him. Hell grabbed a hold of him. Hell tried to put chains on him. And hell tried to bound him there. And hell tried to keep him in eternal punishment. Hell tried to prevent him from raising from the dead. But you know what? He did rise up. Hell had no hold on him. Praise the Lord. By the way, if we believe, and we do, if we believe that anybody that enters into hell will enter into hell in bodily function too, or bodily form, and we do, because every single person that is cast into the lake of fire will know, they'll feel the flames, they'll feel the heat, they'll feel the torment. And Jesus Christ went and paid our sin debt. And yet hell could not hold him. The Bible says that he rose from the grave. He taught this in his own life and ministry when he said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. One of the most beautiful songs that we have in our hymn book states this. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus my Lord. Nah, he rose up. He rose from the grave because death could not hold him. Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Savior. Waiting the coming day, Jesus my Lord. You know it? Up from the grave he arose. It's one of the most beautiful songs we have in our hymn book. Because it speaks of the victory of Jesus over the grave. It speaks of the fact that Jesus Christ in his victory gives us the victory as we believe in him and put our faith and trust in him. We have victory. He also ascended up into heaven. In Acts chapter 1, verse number 9, the Bible says, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Wow. Jesus Christ is alive. He was alive then. He's alive today. He'll be alive tomorrow. There was a day in history when God prepared him a body. A body to walk upon the face of this earth with. A body to pay for the sin debt of humanity with. A body to prove that today he is alive. Over 500 people plus saw him walking about alive and well after his resurrection. And then his church stood by and watched him ascend up into heaven. I can just imagine on that glorious day, they're thinking of all the times that Jesus touched them. All the times that they embraced him. All the times he opened his mouth and taught them. Jesus Christ, alive. Jesus Christ is so alive that his blood speaks redemption even today in heaven. You know what that tells me? My sins are forgiven. They've been washed away. The man that you're looking at up here on this platform today, because of my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a living Savior, a live Savior, one who bled and died, one who had that redemptive blood come out of his veins, I'll never see a moment of hell. Not because I'm holy, not because I'm something special, but he died for me and he died for you. He died for the whole world. And that blood that speaks, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna come against the belated John MacArthur. It's real blood. It's not fake blood. It's a real, live blood that was placed on the mercy seat in heaven, and it speaks even today on our behalf. If you're not saved, AI is not going to do it for you. I've seen people grab a hold of a chain around their neck and pray and kiss that chain. It's not going to save you. I know of people who have walked into confessional booths and poured their heart out to their priest, walking out feeling good that they confessed, and yet they're as lost when they walked out as they walked in, because they put their faith and trust in another sinner. And if you would simply come to Jesus Christ today, you too can be saved. Not only that, Jesus is alive, so alive that death had no claim on him. I like the depiction of our cross because Jesus is not on it. You know what that tells me? We don't look at a crucifix. We don't even look at the grave. It's empty. Our Jesus is alive and well, sitting on the right hand of God the Father today. When you look at a cross and it has Jesus still stuck on that cross, it gives a false testimony It gives a false depiction of where Jesus Christ is today. Jesus Christ is alive, so alive that he is our high priest today. When you get on your knees and you talk to God, doesn't matter if it's at the altar, doesn't matter if it's in the pew where you're sitting, doesn't matter if you're at home, doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car driving down the road and you need to pour your heart out to God about something. It doesn't matter where you are. If you talk to God, Jesus Christ is right there next to him and saying, listen, that's one of my children. I died for that child. They're washed in my blood. Real live Jesus. Can I have an amen? Real live Jesus, not a fake Jesus. Not a Jesus that was programmed with the right answers to give us a feel-good religion. But a real live Jesus that gives us forgiveness. A real live Jesus that gives us the peace of God in our heart. A real live Jesus, not a fake Jesus. A real live Jesus. And when I get on my knees and I go before the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with every ounce that is in me that I'm talking to a real live God. What about you? Has religion become so religious to you that the reality has been taken away? Let's stand to our feet and we'll pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your precious word. Father, it bothers me to the depths of my soul how that there are people in this earth who have brought mockery to the name of Jesus Christ. And all we can hope for is that they will be saved. All we can hope for is that the creator of these antichrists, these gods in a machine, would get saved and destroy their creation. But Father, we thank you for giving us the truth about your love to us, the truth about who Jesus Christ is, the truth about his blood, the truth about your forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Father, we praise you for it.